And welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I play with one lovely little Fennec Fox on the field.
I'm Kevin. Rat-a-tang.
Kevin's been listening to too much corn. Oh, man.
Yeah.
We said save it for the Peach. And Kevin was like, I think this is going to come out during the podcast. And
I think
not
they're gonna
5 seconds in.
I didn't make it that long. I mean, I had to get out of my system now so I can never say it again.
Mm-hmm. My TikTok is also plagued by corn. And just this one guy who, like, anytime he sees anything related to corn, he's like, is that corn? Oh,
wait. I know. I love that.
But man, it's been a good week. Thank you. First off, I want to say thank you for anybody who went and filled out that survey that I put out in the Discord and that I made a little message for in the last episode. It was really good to see some of the responses for better or for productive or constructive. I really appreciate that either way.
Did anyone complain about me?
Oh, everybody complained about you.
Everybody.
But it was also my fault for putting a field for it, saying if you could complain about one aspect of Kevin, what's your most pressing? And several of the people were like, where do I start?
If you could say one bad thing about one of our two members that isn't Mike, what would you say? Mike, your teeth are awfully whiter than usual. What's happening?
Hey, man.
You whitening?
Nah.
You brushing?
Nah. That's just my complexion. It's really nice. It's really nice to have, darker skin to make the teeth look very bright.
Yeah, my skin does the opposite. It makes them look very yellow.
Yeah, right? It's
also the wine and coffee I drink on a daily basis. That doesn't help at all.
That's probably fair. I also try very hard not to wear white because I do not want any of that contrast in my life.
Mike does not want the true color of his teeth to come out. It's his biggest secret.
No, thank you. I'm sure there are people who are listening right now who are like, yes, I never wear white for that exact reason because everyone compliments me on my teeth, but they're not. It's an illusion. It's a deception.
Well, white teeth in general is an illusion. Teeth are like supposed to be a tint of yellow, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's like the natural color of teeth.
Exactly. They're bones.
People forget they're just bones.
Bones.
We're just staining them white. You guys don't even know.
Happy Hypno Day, everybody.
Hypno Pokemon doesn't even have teeth.
Pokemon number 97 is Hypno. Most of the Pokemon in the Pokemon universe do not canonically have teeth. Can we just say that? Can we be the ones to finally say it?
Like Sharpedo doesn't have teeth. Exploud doesn't have teeth.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Aerodactyl doesn't have teeth.
Sharpedo doesn't have teeth?
Weezing doesn't have teeth. Mike, I'm naming a bunch of Pokemon that do have teeth.
You're naming
just to
Pokemon
prove
that have teeth? There are a handful. I didn't say none of the Pokemon have teeth. There's some Pokemon that have teeth. Not a lot of them.
Does Incineroar have teeth? Yes, it does.
Oh, that makes sense.
It is a tiger.
Okay, but what about, like, off the top of my head, Superior?
Superior
of teeth? Actually, it looks like it has two, like just in the bottom.
Arbok should have teeth. It is a snake. It's kind of their whole gimmick.
Fair. What about Pikachu? Everyone's favorite mascot. No teeth on Pikachu.
They got to be somewhere in there.
Nope.
Pikachu eats Poke Snack.
Find them. Find the teeth. I dare you to find the teeth. Even in that nightmare rendition of Pokemon, of Detective Pikachu, by the way, fantastic movie. If people haven't seen it, go and see it.
It's actually very good. Yeah,
it's really good. Pikachu doesn't have teeth. Pikachu has like a large lip. But no
would you
teeth.
Consider Pinsir to have teeth? Or would those even be teeth?
I would consider Pinsir to be all teeth.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, have you ever seen a lobster's mouth?
I can't say I have.
It's terrifying. Are you Googling it?
I just Googled lobster's mouth. I do not recommend. Oh, no. That's a nightmare. Hey, let's...
It makes you understand why Crawdon's on the spooky cup tier. Picks.
Let's talk about that. So the Spooky Cup is a thing. Spooky Cup 2021. Bring your spookiest Pokemon to the Spooky Cup competition. Load up your team with the most spine-chilling Pokemon and take on other Pokemon Sword and Shield players this November Nope. Not November.
October.
There you go. October 14th.
15th.
No.
Yeah.
The sign. Okay. The sign up period. Listen.
Yeah.
The sign up period is Wednesday, September 29th. That is last week until Thursday, October 14th, which is next week, next Thursday. Competition will be from Thursday, October 14th until Sunday, October 17th at 5 p.m. PDT. Bring your spookiest Pokemon. There's like a big long list of Pokemon that are considered by, I guess, three people at Game Freak as spooky.
That's probably three more people than they actually allocated to it, but continue.
Definitely. Some director was just like, okay, we want to put together a spooky cup. Tell me your spookiest Pokemon.
And they were like, Vileplume.
One of the answers was Vileplume.
I mean, I honestly didn't consider this like an actual thing until I received a coaching request from Shark Dad, who said, word for word, I'm tired of Series 10. Let's build for Spooky Cup. Because this is a doubles competition. So it's essentially VGC with a very narrowed down decks, which is super cool. Like, you haven't seen that in a very long time. You haven't seen that since Series 1. So a lot of the things that we were, like, trying to decide what to do with the teams, we're actually looking back at, like, some Series 5, Series 4 sets, just because that makes a lot more sense. You don't have to live Kyogre water spouts in Series 4. You just got to worry about a Hydro Pump from a Rotom Wash. But, like, in general, like, a lot of these Pokemon are pretty decent. The only issue is that the typings are obviously very skewed. You have a lot of dark, you have a lot of ghosts, you have a lot of, you know, those kinds of types, because those are the spooky Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
But you got some pretty interesting combinations that you can actually do. Of course, I'm going to get this out of the way and mention it.
Can I say it? I'm pretty sure I know what you're about to say.
Give it to me.
Dragapult Colossal.
Yep, that's a big one. But I don't know if I should reveal some secret techs.
Oh.
Because I don't want to. I'll talk about it next week. I don't want to skew the competition.
Okay.
Me and Shark Dad did find a very solid way of dealing with Colossal. Mm-hmm. There aren't many things that can outspeed Colossal. We found a way.
So I'll tell you, right now, at this very moment, I'm going to set a bookmark for us. Next week, we are going to have a full-on segment for the Spooky Cup competition and how to game it, how to break it.
there are a lot of secret techs here. Like a big one is like Rotom Wash is very good. Mm-hmm. Rotom Wash and all of Rotoms in general, because there's not a lot of electric types here, and there's a bunch of like flying types for some reason. I guess flying types are spooky. You have the birds.
Have you ever watched The Birds?
The Birds?
Alfred Hitchcock?
The Birds? Is that that bad movie that people compare with The Room?
No, that's Birdemic.
Oh, okay.
One is a film adaptation by a wonderful author who made a very terrifying book, and the other is Birdemic.
I love how you knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. That's such mic culture to just know what really bad movies are.
Very much.
What I was going to say. Oh, there are other good sets that you guys should try out. You should try out Naganadel, Bisharp, Gengar, Bisharp. There's Gigalith and Sandrush, Dracovish allowed. You got a couple of Trick Room setters. You have Dusclops. You have Jellicent. You have Kofagrigus if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you don't have Dusclops. You only have Dusknoir. I guess Dusknoir is spookier than Dusclops. Don't ask me.
I mean, fact.
Weird.
I get it. Like, I like this. I like the Spooky Cup. For those of you who haven't picked up on this by now, it's also a doubles format. Gigantamax mm-hmm. and Dynamax is allowed. So there are always some pretty spicy sets when you have a limited format and Dynamax. You hear us complain a lot about Dynamax in BGC, but when you have Dynamax in an expanded format with all of your Pokemon allowed, it just makes like six Dynamax Pokemon worth using. When you have a restricted format, where in this one only like a handful are allowed, like somewhere around 50, it might actually be exactly 50. It's not. then Dynamax is like such a prominent factor, such a thing that people can take advantage of. Like you might see people actually bringing an Aerodactyl or a Mawile or a Claydol Pokemon that you never see in mm-hmm. the current meta.
Just because they're allowed to, right? Yeah. Also, Incineroar is allowed, so.
Why is that spooky? Yeah, it's spooky.
It's kind of spooky. If I saw that on the street, I'd run.
Yeah. So, almost immediately, we know that most teams are going to bring Incineroar.
That's a given, but yeah. They should. It's going to be good.
It's going to be better. Better than
yeah.
usual.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's even more strict. It does. It's the only one here that has, like, Fake Out and Intimidate.
Yeah.
So they're going to use it. Like, they don't even have Arcanine to pick out of here. It's like, okay, yeah, wow. Definitely. And the only two Intimidators are Incineroar and Crocodile, and let's be honest. Which one are we picking?
I mean, fair. Now, you could just go ahead and throw everything out the window. If you know that an Incineroar is coming, bring an Obstagoon. Remember that? Remember Obstagoon?
Dude, where's that Defiant, man?
We got that Defiant.
Honestly, Obstagoon is legit. Pretty good here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any stab fighting types anywhere. There's like, yeah.
Unless you're bringing.
Actually, no stab fighting.
Unless you're bringing a Graplocked.
I lied. There's a Beweer. But oh, let's be Beweer. Honest. Beware the Beweer.
Yeah,
but yeah, honestly, there. This seems pretty fun. It does have a lot of obviously better Pokemon than others.
Mm-hmm.
But just Pokemon I haven't seen in a while was really cool. Like, I think Shark Dad had a Corviknight on his team. That was super fun to use. Like,
cool.
Remember Corviknight, guys? I know yeah. Celesteel is the big rage now, but Corviknight was fun while it was there.
I will say, remember, folks, that this is a spooky cup, and so there will be, just by virtue, a lot of ghost and or dark yeah. types. So if you're thinking of bringing the Shedinja because you think, oh, there are a lot of Pokemon that are gone from this list that are... You know, that might make it okay for Shedinja to just run shop.
Nope.
No. It's nope. probably going to be harder than ever to actually bring Wonder Guard in this one.
I would avoid Shedinja at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry to our Shedinja stans, Swede, if, you know, if you're out there.
Just run Garbodor.
Yeah.
The best Pokemon in the
Did format. You know? Did you know that that Pokemon that you just said? Is a combination of garbage and odor.
So Garbodor?
Did you know that the name of that Pokemon that you just said is a combination of garbage and odor?
Garbage, odor, Garbodor, Garbodor.
All right, so Play Pokemon is back, everybody. Play Pokemon is back with a vengeance. They've decided to do it. They have brought us back to competitive Pokemon. Now, I want to say, before we jump into this, that as part of the survey, I got to read through a lot of what people were saying about what PokeSports has been and what PokeSports has turned into and kind of the direction that we've gone. And something that kind of stuck out in my mind was the thought that, you know, between Kevin and I, we've grown disinterested in VGC. And I want to come out and say, no, 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 no. We are very interested in VGC. But when you're bored of a format, you're bored of a format, man. And this finally is something different. Yes, Kevin.
I mean, I get it.
Oh, totally.
We're less enthusiastic about it. Specifically on the podcast, I feel like we are less enthusiastic about
it. We're so sad about it.
I mean, because most of the time, I don't know if this is just podcast listeners, but I play it on YouTube and I have a pretty good time playing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's not much to talk about, really. At this point, there's no tournaments, there's
True.
No new metagame, there's not even any relevant stats. If you guys went and checked, October stats are identical to September stats, which are identical to August stats. What do I do? The stats don't change. Among Us is still top 10. The factor is a lie.
And but, there is still some innovation in VGC,
yes.
by the way, but whenever that like kind of comes to the forefront, we're there to talk about it. We talk about it every single time it comes to our attention. So I just want to say that while it's valid that and true that we have been sounding less enthusiastic about VGC, I think also that's kind of reflective of the community. And that's kind of the problem. And I think bringing attention to it is important because then we can think about, okay, how do we spice things up? How do we make the competitive scene interesting? And I think things like the Spooky Cup, things like 2022 Play Pokemon are going to be two of the things that really do that. So with that, let's talk about premier Pokemon events returning early 2022. You can compete for prizes, travel awards, and glory with four different ways to play. Yes, four different ways to play this year. Not only do we have the Pokemon video games, which they didn't, it was a little weird that they just said Pokemon video games and not like,
I guess just VGC is what they meant.
And Shield. Yeah.
Main series.
Games. Main series. Exactly.
They probably don't like that word.
Right.
Main series. Yeah.
They've got Pokemon Tournament. They've got Pokemon TCG, which again, if we remember from last week or 2 weeks ago, TCG Live is now a thing. We're going to be talking with somebody on the podcast a little bit later about that. And new to the roster is Pokemon Go. We have Pokemon Go now, people.
I got to learn another game.
You got to learn another game. This, so again, I think I mentioned this at some point in our 97 episodes of Pokesports. But if they ever brought, I believe that I said, if they ever brought esports into Pokemon Go, I would pick it up and I would play the crap out of it. Because that is, in my mind, all that Pokemon Go was missing. Just a proper competitive element that's tracked. It has competitive in it, but it's like, why play it? What tournaments am I going to?
I know I'm asking the wrong person this question. Is there a ranked ladder in Pokemon Go?
I am not sure because I never got into it.
We need a guess. We need like a Pokemon Go head on this.
I need a Pokemon Go head over here. Yeah. If anybody out there, yeah.
Go podcasts that you guys know of, tweet at us.
Let us know who we should be talking to.
Yeah, because this is some steep waters we're treading now.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to figure this out. We don't want to be out of the loop.
No, exactly.
I still have it downloaded on my phone. Haven't opened it yet. It's there, though.
It's a big file.
It's gigantic. You need a new phone just to hold it.
Yeah, and some people do. You remember going out into the wild and watching other people play Pokemon Go with like their 17 phones inside their little baskets?
I remember the old man in Europe that had like a whole contraption attached to his bicycle of like 20 phones.
That was the meme.
And like a backpack full of what is it called? External batteries.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, true. Because back then,
what a life.
Back then, phones hadn't even like scratched the surface of proper battery life. So people
my
had
phone,
their, yeah.
My phone at the time was not prepared for Pokemon Go.
Oh, I don't think anybody's were.
Yeah. It would last maybe a good 10 minutes before scalding my fingerprints.
Yeah.
Off of my fingers.
And now some phones are still like that, but I feel like phone companies have almost kind of like pivoted how they do things because of Pokemon Go. They're like, "Okay, we need to make sure these phones stay cool. They're bursting into flames cuz people won't turn off Pokemon Go. Niantic is burning my house down."
I mean, back when iPhones had this was during Pokemon Go. Remember iPhones used to have the metal back plates? Like iPhone 5S and stuff? I think I literally bursted something. I burnt the paint off of my back plate in like certain sections.
Oh my God.
Because that's how much I was using it. And they were like, you know what? I think we need a glass back plate.
That's fair.
And now here we are.
And now here we are, Year of Luigi 2021. We're playing Pokemon Go on the world stage.
I guess so, man. I mean, this is cool, this is fun, but I'm more excited for VGC here.
Of course.
For those that say that we're not excited about VGC, I'm excited to have live tournaments again. Like I said, you guys might know if you've been listening to this podcast, I attended the Johto UX9 championship in New York, which is like the first live tournament in what felt like forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see what Pokemon has in store now that we're entering 2022 and now that we're looking to actually open up the live tournaments again. There's a bunch of COVID guidelines, actually, that I was just like skimming through while Mike was speaking and I was paying nothing but attention to him. it looks like they are going really hard on keeping people safe, which is exactly what you want to hear from tournaments like this. Because remember, even though the player base that attends these tournaments aren't actually children for the most part because they're competitive games, children can't necessarily be vaccinated yet. So there is like kind of a little bit of you have to, everyone has to wear a mask. You have to bring some type of proof, I think, to the bigger events.
Sure.
Of vaccination or tests. You have to be like 3 feet apart. At least three feet tall. Separate area for spectators. And there's a total participation to a max. Oh, this is weird. Events are restricted to total participation of a maximum of 30 individuals. Or 60 individuals when outdoors.
Wow,
is that even for regionals? Because that's very little.
People. That's very little.
People are going to have to fight for their spots, man.
True.
That's crazy.
They have acknowledged that it's a shorter season, 2022. Players will only be able to earn travel awards for the 2022 North American Championships based on points earned during the period from when the championship points events begin again through April 24th, 2022. So you only have like a good like 6 months to earn championship points.
And people from the 2020 season still get their points rolled over to 2022, yeah. In case people were wondering about that.
So it pays to have been active in the first few months of Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting. I hope to see a lot of in-person events to kind of, you know, give people that catch-up time.
Freshen things up a bit, freshen it man. Up. I mean, at the same time, I feel like, and I hope this isn't the case. I talked to you about this early today, because last week's podcast, I guess we were kind of on the VGC. Now that you said like we're negative about VGC, I'm just constantly catching things that we've done.
Sure.
And we were kind of negative about VGC last podcast. I'll be the first one to admit that. But we were negative because of a rumor of them returning to older metagame. You know, me and Mike hate that, regardless of how okay the metagame is. Like series seven was a great metagame, but returning to it still sucked. In this case, series eight wasn't a great metagame, and we're going to be returning to it, which theoretically, maybe, potentially, that's the rumor. What I'm scared of is that Play Pokemon just like, oh, people are going to keep playing our game because we're going back live. We don't have to think too hard about these. Let's just return to old series. I don't want that. Come on, guys.
I do think that word travels back to major organizers when these in-person events happen, though. I feel like word travels back a lot quicker than it does in, say, a Players' Cup, where people are just kind of tweeting about it. Because anybody can tweet out anything negative. But if you're, like, I don't know, one of the top eight in an in-person regionals, and you're talking with the tournament organizers, and the tournament organizers are like, hey, how are you liking this series? And you're like, it sucks, man. It's not a good... not a good series. It should really do some kind of like something to spice it up, you know, 2 years into this game's life cycle. I feel that like that reaches the right people more often than, say, a Player's Cup.
And a tweet that you're salty about something.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. The only issue is like, how do they really judge whether people are liking the series or not when the limit is 30?
Like, yeah, that's going to be,
you're going to max out 100%. You're going to max out every single venue.
Mm-hmm.
I think at least, like, if Joe UX9 can pull 30 people into a room, I'm sure Pokemon as a global entity can pull more than 30 people into a room, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, okay. So there's also the fact that Pokemon Go going to World Championships, partnering with Niantic for this. Was Pokken developed by a different company? Pokken.
I'm sure it doesn't seem like Game Freak can make something that pretty.
It can't.
No offense, right? Game Freak.
No, it's a Bandai Namco joint. Okay. So, Pokken
probably
Bandai
same people
Namco,
that yeah. did FighterZ, right?
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
I know Bandai does a lot of Dragon Ball games.
Yeah.
From like the Budokai days, you know? Was that Bandai? I'm gonna say it is. Someone will correct me.
I don't know. Bandai has done a ton of stuff, man. I'm trying to. Oh no, Dragon Ball FighterZ is Arc System Works. So now I want to find out who, what Bandai what Namco Studio has been doing. Oh, because they have done Tekken 7, of course.
Have they not? Okay, I'm skipping the gun a little bit. They haven't reset the ranked ladder on Unite yet. So like,
still haven't. Going
on? Yeah, I went back to. I haven't played in a couple of days. I've been really busy with like real estate stuff, guys. If you guys need to buy yourself a house in New Jersey, call me. But I logged on just, you know, get my red dots. I'll play a couple of quick matches to get my red dots. Then I like just went to check the ranked ladder. I'm just like, it still says I'm in master, so I guess this is fine. I kind of just want my tickets at this point, though.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of just want it to be over and get my tickets. I have 20,000 tickets waiting for me.
I want them tickets. Yeah, I hear you. Like, let's start the second season already. I'm a little antsy. Speaking of Pokemon Unite, we will be talking all about that when we come back from the break in just a second. So sit tight. We'll see you then. And we're back. Hey, Kevin. Did you know?
Nope.
Season one of Pokemon Unite, when it was talking about the whole, you know, it's going to end on September 22nd, yada, yada, and everyone stopped talking about it right after that. Nobody actually was asking, hey, when does season two start? And the reason is because that was just the battle pass.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you told me I got nothing to do after I hit Masters? It's got to reset sometime.
It'll reset eventually, for sure.
It's probably yearly.
I don't know about yearly.
That's what
League does. I think
that might
be a little too ambitious for Pokemon Unite.
I mean, a League season is a year, isn't it?
A League season is a year, but League is like, I don't know.
Patched every month? You mean just like Pokemon Unite?
Oh. Hmm.
Got him.
Oh, no. I think you might be right.
I guess I'm not getting points for a year.
Sure. It would make a lot more sense to me if it were like every 6 months or some divisible part of the year, you know?
So
I feel like you can get to the highest part of Pokemon Unite way faster than you can get to the highest part of League of Legends.
You say that, but that might also be because we got there early.
That might be
it. We got there season one. I'm pretty sure. And streamers that are hard stuck can confirm, because there are a lot of them hard stuck. And I feel like a lot of them get hard stuck in expert, too. It's like, apparently that's a grind.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Me and Mike got there early. Me and Mike abused items very early. So I abused Gengar very early. There are a lot of factors there.
That's interesting that you say that. That's very true. I mean, we went in as semi-competent MOBA players.
Yes, this was also not our first MOBA. Yeah,
playing
in
a pond of people who were trying out Pokemon for the Pokemon MOBAs, or even MOBAs in some cases, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pair that with the fact that we kind of understood items a little quicker than other people, combined with the fact that we played it like a ton, and I guess that was how we catapulted ourselves up. If I were to start a new account, which I will not do because I am terrified of how much I'd have to grind to go and get certain Pokemon, I wonder where we would end up.
I mean, honestly, if you start a new account, mm-hmm, and I start a new account, we drop like $10. You get Venusaur, I get Gardevoir. We don't spend money on items.
Yeah.
How long would it take us? I say give us a month and we could do it.
Okay.
Which is not less than the 2 weeks that it not two like 2 days it took me before, but I think we could do it in a month.
Okay. Why don't we try that?
Because that's a lot of commitment.
It is a lot of commitment. That is why we don't try that. You're right. I don't know. Maybe
because
we'll
we don't have to.
Exactly. What do we have to prove?
We're already there.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, there is a new Pokemon in Pokemon Unite. Yes, I know. This is not episode 96. I'm not talking about Mamoswine. The very week after, Sylveon is the Pokemon of the week. The second of the two Pokemon that they revealed that were going to be coming to Pokemon Unite is here. It's Sylveon. Kevin, you say this is a male Sylveon.
Yes, because the Eevee has the zigzaggy tail.
Oh.
And female Eevee has the heart tail.
Neat.
Or like the circle-y tail. You know how they had like the square tail Pikachu and the heart tail Pikachu.
Oh, very cool. So the trailer dropped for Sylveon as well, and you can go and check that out on the Pokemon YouTube channel for Pokemon Unite. But it's the trailers, man, I wish they put just a little bit more into the trailers, because like every Pokemon Unite game formula or video formula is like show a shot of the Pokemon scoring a goal, show that animation, show a shot of the Pokemon using skill 1, skill 2, skill 3, skill 4, show the Unite move wiping the team, and that is the Pokemon. Welcome to Sylveon. Like,
I mean, that's honestly exactly how it played out too.
Yeah. You can probably put a little bit more into that, but it was fun to watch. Just fun to see kind of a new Pokemon joining the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely seems like Sylveon's exactly what you expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like a special attacker, range attacker, big damage, wee-woo-wee-woo Pokemon. And I like that. That's what we needed. We had very little of that. The game is too darn tanky. Please give me things that can one-shot things.
Yeah.
So that I'm not sitting here trying to smack a Crustle for 13 minutes.
And I like some of it as well. We're gonna go over its basic attacks and all of its skills.
Idea.
Tell me your idea.
You know what they need in this game?
Mm.
They need Pokemon, a Pokemon. I don't care what it is, but a Pokemon that can shred shields. There's no shield shredder. Like a Vayne. Or like something like that, where it's like, I don't care how much defense you have, I'm gonna late game carry no matter what you do, because these tanks running around are getting a little bit obnoxious.
So I hear that, but I think that now that Sylveon is here, it's going to make that a little bit tougher to make. And mm-hmm. with that, let's segue into the basic attacks and passives. So right now, Eevee's basic attack, it starts off as an Eevee, not that surprising, evolves at level 4. Eevee's normal attack becomes a boosted attack every third attack, deals increased damage. It's just boom, damage dealer. Sylveon, the basic attack, every third attack is boosted, much like most of the other Pokemon, does increased damage, but also increases the user's movement speed for a short time. So Sylveon gets a little faster. Where this is helpful is when you look at the passives. Eevee's passive, every time Pokemon deals or receives damage, its special attack is increased. Sylveon, every time Pokemon deals or receives damage, its special attack and special defense are increased for a short time. So not only are you moving faster every third attack, but by then you've also increased your special attack and special defense both times.
That it seems to me that they're trying to make like a special offensive bruiser, if that makes any sense. I made comparisons to League of Legends Zoe earlier. If you guys don't know any League, I'm sorry. But I'm also starting to see a little bit of Diana vibes.
Okay.
It's like things that a character that can go in, burst you, but not die instantly. That's kind of, I haven't played any Sylveon yet. It literally just came out minutes before this podcast.
Yeah.
But that's just what it seems like from its passive and its moves so far.
I think Sylveon is going to benefit a lot from running some kind of tanky items here, because you want the Sylveon to, one, receive damage. You also want it to deal damage. Depending on how much that special attack, special defense boost is, the fact that your special defense is increasing while you're getting hit is just like, really? Like, eventually it's not going to be taking any kind of special damage.
I think day one, people are just going to be monkey moding and going straight like damage. Mm-hmm. Choice specs, wise glasses, etc. But as it develops, I'm pretty sure most people are going to come to the conclusion that, hey, maybe Buddy Barrier, Focus Band, Wise Glasses is the way to go. This feels like a very good Pokemon for Buddy Barrier, Focus Band. It's a shame they still haven't fixed those items, but...
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to fix them by introducing new ones that would mitigate them, but they're still just as good.
Mm-hmm.
And when you introduce a Pokemon like this that just benefits from just more HP, you have no reason not to use them at this point.
Break out the EOS cookies, folks. Let's do it.
Give me the XP share EOS cookie set.
Eevee's level 1 and 3 moves. Eevee's level 1 and 3 moves are the most milquetoast thing that you can possibly put on a Pokemon. Swift is one of them. Shoots star-shaped rays of the opposing Pokemon, deals damage to them, cooldown 7 seconds, and just does damage. It's just a ranged attack. It has nothing extra, which is fine, I guess. Kind of boring for a intro Pokemon, but it gets really powerful later.
I feel it's going to have a really garbage early game.
Yeah.
They have to balance it somehow.
Or you can go Baby Doll Eyes at level 1 or level 3. Baby Doll Eyes has the user stare at an opposing Pokemon with its Baby Doll Eyes, dealing damage and decreasing the opposing Pokemon's attack and movement speed for a short time when it hits. So you're lowering the attack and movement speed.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what the other move that comes after it is.
I mean, that's fair. I think that almost always you're still going Swift first, just because that...
Yeah, just to get the monkeys.
Yeah, just to get those monkeys. I have a feeling it does more damage because that's on a 7-second cooldown. Baby Doll Eyes is on a 5-second cooldown, even though Baby Doll Eyes does do damage in this.
It does damage, but does other things, so yeah, probably.
Right. So I imagine that it's going to do less damage. Level 4 moves, so this is what Swift turns into, either Mystical Fire or Hyper Voice. Mystical Fire is a dash, has the user create 4 small flames while advancing in the designated direction. The flames shoot toward opposing Pokemon one by one, dealing damage and decreasing the opposing Pokemon's special attack for a short time when they hit. Each time a flame hits, it reduces the cooldown of this move. Cooldown is 7 seconds, it creates 4 small flames. If you hit with all 4, you can basically just use it again. It's kind of like Venusaur's Petal Dance, like that.
I haven't even heard what Hyper Voice does, but that already sounds dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. I'm here for it. The thing with that one is, like, because it's so spammable, and does that mean, like, you're going to have a very mobile character in Sylveon? Because you said it's also a dash and movement speed, and it's spammable. So you're just going to be able to keep proccing it and dance around your opponent, like, you know.
I mean, maybe. I think the fact that it decreases the Pokemon's special attack as well is going to make that paired with its passive just so broken. Pokemon aren't going to be able to use skills against Sylveon.
Mm-hmm. And they also, like, any type of... I know this game doesn't have a lot of skill shots. A lot of the skill shots are, like, kind of... The game's AI already aims for you most of the time. But if you're going to get that much movement speed, then you're going to be pretty good at dodging skill shots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sounds great. It sounds like what this Pokemon should do. Just kind of a happy-go-lucky cat bouncing around and hurting you.
Right. Or it can turn into Hyper Voice. Hyper Voice is an area attack, unleashes an attack of multiple sound waves that deal damage when they hit. The damage they deal increases the farther the target is from the user. Every time a sound wave hits, the next sound wave's damage increases. So it's Echo Slam from Dota?
It's a Umiult from League. Bam, bam, bam. Right? And like each time it hits, it does something.
I'd say more like Brand.
Brands. Boing, boing, yeah. Boing.
Boing, boing, boing. Like Chain Lightning kind of thing.
Okay.
But it says that it increases an attack of multiple sound waves. So I assume that means that it attacks anything in the area. And then anytime those sound waves bounce off of that Pokemon to another Pokemon, it does increase damage.
That's interesting because I was looking at the trailer. I'm assuming this is the cone-shaped move that it does on the Corphish. It doesn't seem like its distance is that big. Like, my brain, I still think Mystical Fire is the way to go. I don't know if you agree or disagree. I still feel like Mystical Fire is probably the better way.
I think so. I think I would agree with that because of the special attack drop. I think anything that nerfs a Pokemon that you're like trying to beat is going to be the better move. You don't just want to do damage. Like damage is whatever. Anybody can feel
someone else will nerf you.
Damage. Yeah.
I like that.
I like it. So yeah, Mystical Fire is my choice as well. Level 6, your secondary attack, your secondary skill, can turn into either Draining Kiss or Calm Mind. Draining Kiss has the user blow kiss the opposing Pokemon. It goes back and forth between the user and the opposing Pokemon multiple times. When the kiss touches the user, it restores HP. When it hits an...
Okay.
Oh, what? I think what this means to say is that when it touches a... when it touches a friendly Pokemon, maybe?
Yeah, I'm assuming you're not healing the enemy.
Because then right after it says, when it hits an opposing Pokemon, it deals damage to it and decreases its movement speed for a short time. If the user and the opposing Pokemon move too far away from each other, the kiss will disappear faster than normal. I think what this means
to say... Oh, this is like a tether. This is like a tether move.
Yeah, I think what this means to say is it bounces between the opposing Pokemon and Sylveon.
Support move. Okay, so they're going like a supportive route. I mean, they're trying to make Sylveon do everything at this point.
But this is, again, why you need to be making Sylveon tanky. Because you just keep on healing yourself. You keep damaging the opponent. So you're doing more special attack and you're increasing your special defense. You're healing yourself the whole time. Ooh. So you're staying alive. You're doing more damage. You're getting more tanky. Whoa, Sylveon's crazy.
Hold on. And you said you could tether an enemy.
Yeah.
So you can tether an enemy, Mystical Fire, bounce around them for like as long as you need to, lower their special attack, gain movement speed, keep bouncing around them, never losing distance because they cannot run you, because guess what? You're still bouncing and your instant never die Sylveon.
That's amazing. Okay, this is a pretty good move.
I hope you guys are running Buddy Barrier and Focus Band on your Sylveon.
Yeah, really. Okay.
We went into this thinking that, like, Mike literally asked me before this podcast, he was like, what items for Sylveon? I'm like, just straight damage. And then, like, as he's reading these moves to me, because I just saw the trailer. I don't know what these moves are. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, you build health. You definitely build health here.
Yeah, exactly. So between Mystical Fire and Hyper Voice, you pick Mystical Fire, in my opinion. Level 6, you've got either Draining Kiss, which so far is definitely the one to choose. Or Calm Mind. Calm Mind has the user quietly focus its mind and calm its spirit to increase its special attack, special defense, and movement speed for a short time.
I still think the other one's better.
I kind of agree.
Because, like, yeah, you can do that, but I'm assuming there has to be a drawback. Like, do you have to channel it? Like, what do you have to do? Do you just click a button and get instant stats? Is that how this is?
I think so. I mean, it's like it's like Machop's bulk up.
Oh yeah, you're right. What's the cooldown on that?
10 seconds.
It's kind of big.
So is Draining Kiss. But Draining Kiss, I guess, is in use for a little bit. So is Calm Mind, though.
Draining Kiss is also infinite if you don't get distance between your kisser.
We don't know that.
I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an assumption.
It might have a certain amount of bounces, or maybe it doesn't, and you can just keep on using them and keep bouncing Draining Kisses between people.
I mean, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of, like, you know, a Zeke's Convergence in League. Like,
sure.
That's like always Karma. There. Yeah, that's always there.
Mm-hmm.
A Karma would be a better example, but Karma does run out.
LeBlanc, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel
we'd have
like,
to play it to try it.
Yeah, I really do want to play it to try it. But I feel like Pokemon that want to be close to other Pokemon are really good and have a high skill cap. You have to be really good to know how to position yourself like close to a Pokemon without actually, you know, making yourself vulnerable. So
we
it's
haven't
be
mentioned it yet, but Sylveon's definitely a laner, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. I mean, it could probably work in the jungle because anything can, because the experience is broken. But I think you definitely want to play Eevee in a lane preferably bot lane because that's where more experience is, and it feels like you kind of want to rush to your, you kind of want to rush to your Sylveon as soon as you can.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Sylveon's Unite move at level 8 is Fairy Frolic. Has the user jump into the air and briefly become invincible. They love making their Pokemon invincible. The moment the user lands, it deals damage to opposing Pokemon in the area of effect and restores its own HP. Again, we're restoring our own HP. For a short time afterward, a set percentage of damage dealt by the user is converted into HP for the user.
And then guess what you get on top of it all, guys? Buddy Barrier. And you just get a shield on top of all that you get a shield on top of all that HP, and that shield scales with the amount of HP you have.
Not to mention you have that like short-term Unite buff where you move faster and deal more damage. It's like, oh, this thing is going to be a lot.
And they wanted that because
tanks.
Eevee's a starter Pokemon, guys. Did you guys know?
I think with this, we're going to see a pivot away from tank meta. I think I might be
a little boring.
Ambitious.
Sorry
to say that.
Sorry, Snorlax mains and Crustle players. Think meta's boring. Stop playing Blastoise.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm excited for the rest of this season now that Mamoswine and Sylveon are here. These are two Pokemon that kind of shake things up. That, you know, will make this game a lot more fun as we head into tournament season for Pokemon Unite.
Mm-hmm. I'm super curious what they do with the next Pokemon because, it wasn't officially revealed. I shouldn't talk about it. But I guess I will spoil a little bit. It's going to be a tank, which is interesting.
Mm.
It's weird. They're still releasing too many tanks for this game. Give me another healer. Give me something else. I mean, they did give us Blissey. Give me a range. Oh, we need AD carries. More. We only have Greninja and Cinderace.
I guess so.
Yeah. But honestly, I don't know if we need more because they're already so good.
Which I guess in this game are what? All-rounders?
No, all-rounders are like Charizards. I guess they're called attackers, but attackers also get split between special and attack.
Because we've also got Machamp, right?
That's an all-rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Attackers are like Gardevoir, Cinderace, friends. I guess they just consider attackers to be attackers, but there's like certain kinds of attackers, you know?
Yeah.
Greninja and Cinderace do it differently than Gardevoir completely.
Yeah, I do want a lot more or a few more ranged Pokemon that don't rely as heavily on their skills.
More on their autos.
Yeah. Like Pokemon that alter their auto attacks to do more damage. Yeah. Cramorant's kind of like that, but the skills are just so useful that I'm not trying to say that I want useless skills. I just want skills that feed into the auto attacks more.
Yes. Because mm-hmm. I think we can both agree that Cinderace's Blaze Kick is not a useless skill by any means, but it's also not its source of damage.
Right.
It's its source of evasion, if that makes sense. Like skills that give you the opportunity to avoid rather than deal damage is what we need to.
Right. Yes.
Because all these skills just give you dumb shields and health and movement speed and debuffs. That's why we're in tank meta.
Well, I mean, that's what happens. And then things change and the tanks get nerfed and new Pokemon come in that are tank busters, and then you've got a major shift.
I gotta say, so far, I'm happy that Unite is nerfing things.
Yes.
But I have not been impressed by the amount that they nerf these Pokemon.
Mm.
They don't nerf them to the ground, which I guess is good, but there's some Pokemon that deserve to be nerfed to the ground.
They're pretty secretive about by how much they actually nerf these things. Whenever we see a patch line of like reduced damage dealt or whatever, compare that to League, where you look at a patch note and it's like reduced damage of Q by from 94 damage to 92 damage. So we see that and we're like, oh, they're making these little minute tweaks to mm-hmm. Pokemon Unite. That's just them being like, yeah, we reduced the damage. They just don't tell you by how much. And I wish that
one,
they did.
It could be 100.
Exactly, yeah.
No one knows.
So we're left to assume what kind of things they're doing, and that's not great. I mean, you know, don't underestimate your audience, right? Just tell them exactly what you're changing.
Why do you think they do that? Like, is there an actual good reason behind it?
Behind why they don't tell you?
Yeah, I'm sure they totally can, and they totally should.
Because I'm sure they don't think it matters. That they're just like, yeah, this does too much damage. Let's tell the people that we're reducing the damage. But I think what people would really appreciate is knowing how much, and like let them figure out how to contextualize that. Like, oh, we're bringing auto attack damage down from 15 damage per hit to 13 damage per hit. And then people are like, okay, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. And then they start doing the math and they're like, how many times am I hitting somebody in, you know, 5 seconds? And it's like, oh, okay, I'm hitting them like 10 times. So that's 20 damage down. Pretty big when you think about it.
The thing with nerfs in general is like, I don't know. I feel like when they nerfed Wigglytuff, people could still play Wigglytuff because the thing they nerfed wasn't the broken thing, right?
Right.
For some reason, my brain still doesn't want to play Wigglytuff because I'm like, oh, it was nerfed. And I feel like that just like, you know, if people know that, hey, your favorite Pokemon was nerfed, but wasn't nerfed by that much.
Yeah.
It would entice you to still keep playing them, you know?
Yeah. Like, figure out for yourself if it's the...
Is it worth it?
Is it a big enough nerf for me to stop playing it? Or are the things that were nerfed not something that I like can't play around or don't already play around? Because sometimes they nerf things that like you don't even use.
Yes. They'll nerf like smoke screen.
Right. When you're using
eject button.
Eject button, exactly.
And nothing else.
Yeah. All right. And with that, that's going to be the end of our podcast today. Thank you so much for listening. As always, thank you again so much for filling out that survey. Really do appreciate it. Folks, we're trying to make some big changes over on PokeSports Land. Next month, of course, is going to be the release of the new game. And so we want to be as prepared for it as we possibly can for all the different stuff that we'd want to do. While still going through our own lives. Like, Kevin, do you have anything to plug this week?
I have a Mewtwo team on YouTube. You should check it out. There's an Aerodactyl on it. Team actually did a lot better than I anticipated, so you should go ahead and watch that.
We should watch it. We should all watch it. Let's all go watch it.
Everyone, watch it right now.
There you go.
Are you watching it? Pull over.
Good afternoon, PokeSports. It's me, your host, Kevin. Gonna play a Mewtwo team.
I never say host. Mike doesn't watch my videos, guys.
I don't watch PokeSports.
Mike, go right now and like the video.
Oh, dude, like I haven't already done that. Come
on. That's all he does.
There's at least that. Don't worry. I want to thank everybody on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeSportsPodcast, for supporting us in what we do and all that we are. People like Matthew H., Corey, Carlo H., Scott D., King Boo, Martine, Ahmed A, Greg T, Make It Totter, PA, Ryan W, Soen, all of you people, you fine people are so amazing. And I want to thank you so much. Thank you to our mods, Mod Pierre, Mod Lupus, Mod Tofu, for doing all you do and being all that you are. We appreciate the heck out of you. Follow us on YouTube.com/PokeSports or Twitter, Twitter.com/PokeSportsPod or Instagram. Instagram.com/PokeSportsPodcast. We will see you next week for episode 98. We're going to be talking a little bit about, what was that? The Spooky Cup. Oh, spooky.
Ooh. And we have to guess what next week's Pokemon is.
It's spooky.
What's after Hypno? Let's Mr. Mime. That's my guess.
I want to guess Aerodactyl, but I have a feeling that's like 140 something.
I'm going to go ahead and like ruin it. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the last ones.
It is, right?
Okay. Yeah. The fossils are like one of the last ones.
And what did you say?
I said Mr. Mime because that's the same route you get Hypno. So that's my guess.
Okay. So could also be like Jinx or Ditto. We'll see you next week. We'll see you next week. We'll find out next week. Goodbye.